Welcome to Explorers Wanted. We are a weekly Numenera actual play podcast. I will be your sweet and kind and gentle GM, Daniel Anderlich. With me today is Alex Finn.
So what you're saying is buying your dog a satin pillowcase is not fiscally responsible?
Samson Davis.
It's a little bougie, yeah.
It's for his side of the bed.
But it's still bougie.
And Stace Babcock.
I mean, did you pay retail?
I used points.
There you go. It's barely even spending. It's more I know. Like a discount.
That makes it even bougier.
It's like I just got free money.
She bought it with work script from the company store.
I'd get Starbucks a satin pillowcase, but it wouldn't last very long.
Oh, fair. See, what you need to do, Stace, is find out who her K-pop bias is. And then you buy her a satin pillowcase with that on it and see what happens.
No.
What do you mean you're not going to support your cat getting into K-pop?
Yep.
I've done that for my dog.
For my cat, it will be bluegrass only.
You can still have a bluegrass bias. Show her pictures of the band, see which one she likes the best.
I would have to look at pictures of the bands.
I know. I'm sad that American, like, groups don't have, like, this little, like, picture card economy of their band members where you can be like, this one's my favorite. I keep a picture in my wallet like a creep.
I feel like they used to with the boy bands in the early 90s.
There were a lot of collectibles.
I mean, the posters, yeah, but, like, did they actually make little, like, pocket-sized cards?
No, because back then women weren't allowed to have pockets.
I know. It's like, I just got the ability for those.
I remember those days, dark, dark days.
And then they took them away again for fashion.
But you know what else is fashionable?
Die Hard Dice. That's the answer to Dan's question. Die Hard Dice, what a wonderful online purveyor of math rocks for your TTRPG needs. They got a bunch of beautiful sets. Right now, I'm looking at their newest sets. They got this Hellforge Hexbreaker for your edgy, presumably warlock or some infernal patron build, whatever it is. They also got this really cool kind of rainbow acrylic sets with metallic inlays for the numbers. Those are really cool. And of course, they got the rerolls going on right now, which are dice made from the leftover remains of all the other acrylic moldings. So go on to Die Hard Dice, find the set that inspires you, fits with your character. And when you go to checkout, use our code EXPLORERSWANTED to get 10% off your order, get a high quality product for a little bit cheaper. And you're helping to support the show, so go do that, please. Please. Thank you.
You're welcome.
So, who remembers what happened last time? I am going to pick on Stace.
I have no clue. Per usual. I don't even remember the last time we recorded. Ezri was there, pretty sure.
Mr. Tompkins came back.
Tompkins came back. That was good. I wrote nothing down.
Yeah, so remember Kitty Wizard was going around asking people if they know where Ezri Stonebreaker is and showing off their secret tramp stamp?
Yeah, now I do remember that. Okay, so Neva, God bless him, decided to head down to Tier 8 to find Ezri as instructed and asked a bunch of people if they'd seen Ezri Stonebreaker because she'd broken him out of prison. And said to meet her here. And as chance would have it, Magpie was happening by and thought, well, this seems like a bad situation. I don't know who this guy is. Can't remember the exact sequence of events, but long story short, Neva ended up tied up in a shack. And then Ezri was off. During that time, Ezri was off visiting a psychic to get some forged papers. And after visiting the psychic...
Wait, psychic or sidekick?
Psychic. The fortune teller.
Okay.
He told her fortune.
Okay.
With unerring accuracy.
Yeah, it should come to pass, provided we survive 2 weeks or whatever it will take. So, Ezri just needs to find and kill someone who looks just like her, so their papers become available.
I mean, that's one way to do it.
And,
you need to find a donor. That's the term.
Oh, right.
So that he can find a donor.
Do they have to actually look like her, or is this just a... Just find somebody tall.
Well, the problem is that Stace has made a big point that Ezri is much bigger than everyone else.
I know.
And Daniel, you've made the point that there are other people who are taller.
Yeah.
A few.
Well, I don't think the horny murder golem counts, because I don't think he has papers.
Yeah, he's not a citizen, so yeah.
Yeah.
So after ordering the papers, Ezri went to leave and ran into Emery, the rock bear rider who also seems to be part of some sort of group that has tattoos on their neck of chains and stuff. And Emery was like, there's someone you should meet. You're very interesting knocking off trains and breaking people out of prison. So they set that up. And then Ilsen was definitely doing stuff, I think.
Not having a good time. That's basically all Ilsen did last episode.
Oh, right. Ilsen was emo as hell, right?
She watched some torture and did nothing.
Oh, yeah.
She wasn't in control of the situation, guys. She's literally in the middle of like a mob pit.
Well, we're saying that's understandable why, you know, she's fucked up.
Yeah, it sucks to suck.
You know? It's a fucked up situation. It makes sense that Ilsen would wander off on her own back to the old enclave.
Two very different affirmations just happened at the same time. Yeah,
is this gaslighting? I feel gaslit.
Ezri, on her way back from the fortune teller, runs into Magpie, and Magpie was like, basically like, this guy says you broke him out of prison and telling everyone. And Ezri's like, yep, that sounds like Neva. And so carried his unconscious form back to the enclave. And that's probably where we ended the episode.
So this is the scene I was telling you guys about, and I was explaining that I get Red Dragon and Silence of the Lamb confused because I watch them when I'm sick because they're very relaxing, like, soundtrack-wise. but no, so I think it was, what's the person who we agreed canonically sucks name?
Bertram.
On Ilsen's actual work building?
Yes, he's hanging from the front of the corpus collar. He was disemboweled, but hanging on the front of the building. Yeah.
Gross.
With a single mauve sash around his wrist.
I wonder where I was when all this was going down.
A couple other details worth mentioning. While Ezri had already received her share, Magpie and Ilsen also received their share from Ferdinand, from whatever the real job was associated with the train.
Oh, yeah. You were just a distraction, stealing the Emperor's weapon. Oh, man.
That's the other thing. You found out that the Emperor is very upset. So Mr. Tompkins said that people were talking about it being the Emperor being upset. They suggested maybe you guys had stopped a war crime and then just released it back home. Mm. And Emery told Ezri that there was an enormous amount of activity at the Imperial House after word from the train heist got back.
Man, what a situation.
It's amazing.
So, Ilsen.
Yes.
You have been walking down the street. You have looked by chance down at your workplace as you're... It's still like a block away. It's like you're looking down a side street at it just out of habit. And you can see Bertram hanging there, his intestines spilling out onto the ground on the front of the corpus collar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think she's still not mentally well enough to go deal with that. So she's going to continue on to the old enclave. And just to bring everyone up to speed on Ilsen's mental state right now, as I said last episode, she's currently feeling very trapped. Partially from just getting beaten down, having to watch the dog show, and then Bertrand's torture, that she wasn't allowed to leave. I want to reiterate, she wasn't allowed to leave.
Fair.
And then her encounter with the ghoul, she's feeling trapped. She's basically regressed to the same mental state she was in back in Margothie. And when she was in Margothie, the way she reasserted her sense of control of her life was to steal shit. Usually it'd be like valuable stuff, but since the ghouls are watching her, that's not really an option. So instead, she's going to steal something dangerous. Something from the old enclave. So that's what she's doing. Heading back to the old enclave, trying to take back control of her life as best as she thinks she can.
Okay. I think you get back to the old enclave with no further surprises. As you're making your way in to it, you do see, standing on a tripod, a no longer functional Numenera device that was originally the device that Magpie used to fire at those creatures, the jailers, as they were coming out. There are all sorts of acid burns on the floor from their blood, but there's nothing of their body left.
This is outside of the old enclave?
As you're coming into it, so it's like just inside the enclave.
Gotcha. All right. Taking perception as my flex skill again. Is there anything else besides blood splatter and the disused tripod as she comes into the enclave?
Give me a perception roll. So with your flex skill, it's a 9.
Right. 14.
Most of the rest of the enclave doesn't look out of the ordinary at all. It looks mostly like you remember it after everybody was moving shit out of it. What is different is that section of the wall that you guys were going into for like those weird crawl spaces behind the enclave. There are some acid burns along the edge of that, similar to the acidic nature of those creatures' blood.
Does it kind of look like they dragged their comrade's body back?
That part's not super clear. You don't see a trail on the ground. You just see the acid burns along the side. And you're kind of having to piece this together because you weren't in the Enclave when that last battle went down. So
yeah,
I think you were getting coffee at the time.
Yeah, I think she left. Cautiously, she's going to make her way into that back room and get to those sconces.
So you go inside. You make your way down towards the sconces. As you go, you pass the area, the one room on the right that was essentially Mr. Tompkins' litter box, sans litter. And that one weird room that has like perfectly sculpted walls except for the scratches down them.
Mm-hmm.
And then you reach the sconces.
He is going to pull, I think it was the male sconce, one that leads up.
Yes. Pull the male sconce and gravity immediately reverses in that spot. And you go flying up that hole in the ceiling. And unless you're going to do something else, you're going to hit the ground over there and take some damage.
Oh,
last time you guys used a rope.
Okay. Since she's alone, can she use her hover ability to kind of negate her fall as she gets closer to the ground, quote unquote?
Yeah. Absolutely. Just spend those points and you're good to go.
Yep. Mm-hmm. One an edge. Yeah. And then again, she's on the lookout for whatever these crazy monsters are. So the second she like superhero lands on the ground up there, she's looking around, ready for anything.
It seems really quiet. Like as quiet as when you guys first came in there.
Good. Good. Let's keep it that way. She's going to make her way over to the, I think it was the left door. It's left in my mind, the one that leads to the anvil.
Okay. So you go into that room with the anvil. It looks as before. There's sort of the Numenera wiring that you guys had identified earlier that's embedded in the curves of the where the tiling meets in the floors that lead up to that floating anvil.
Mm-hmm.
Door beyond it is closed.
Right. Okay. All right, she's going to give the room a once-over. Is there anything worth stealing to her eyes in this room?
This room itself is, you know, the only thing that's really there is the anvil itself. You remember that the door, when it's closed, it's basically seamless. It just looks like a wall.
Okay.
So it's just the anvil that's floating here. At one point, you know that when you were here with Magpie, Magpie inspected some things, and it's possible that if she was here and you guys didn't care about breaking the anvil, she could probably try to salvage some of the stuff around the anvil, but there's nothing that's like a stealable item in and of itself in the anvil room.
Gotcha. Any loose junk or anything that looks like she could tie it to a stick for a reason?
I don't think there's like a lot of junk. Now, there was that one room that's not in the anvil room that where like the bugs attacked you guys and there was items in there.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
But the anvil room, as I recall, I suggested there was like a rock or two, but it's nothing like you could tie a rope around.
All right, then she is going to head out, go back to that, I think it was like an office, or it looked like it could have been an office.
Mm-hmm.
She's going to crack the door open, see what's going on in there, because we haven't opened that since she threw that steel wire bomb in there.
It is a fucking mess in here. There's all sorts of like those weird insect things lying dead on the ground. A bunch of the other stuff that was in here that may or may not have been ciphers is just destroyed. This room looks like you would expect after a bomb went off, and it was all those monofilaments too, so things are shredded. Like, in fact, some of the furniture is basically like wood chips now.
Sure, sure. And she's gonna go through the room, see if there's anything worth picking up, anything that looks prior world and operable.
Mm.
And if not, then she's gonna find something that she can tie to the end of her quarterstaff to make a makeshift hammer.
Ooh, okay. Evens or odds?
Odds.
Okay, Stace roll die. Tell me if you get even or odd.
Odd.
Amongst the wreckage, you find one cipher you guys did not spot before. Maybe it was in a hidden compartment in the furniture.
As a quick aside, I haven't had a cipher since the train heist, so finally.
You find a small device. Again, it looks almost like it's synth, but it has a little raised part that definitely looks like bone, like somebody shaved off part of the protrusion on a vertebra.
Okay.
Being from Margothy and having seen lots of weird things like this before, because Margothy really embraces prior world technologies, you realize that this, even though you haven't seen the exact thing like this before, there are parts of it that look familiar. You have found in this little handheld device a bone dress.
A bone dress?
The device releases and turns into a soft material that can be squeezed into a pattern of protection around anything living or non-living. Within seconds, the bone hardens in an established pattern, creating a cage of armor. The cage is malleable, allowing movement, and offers plus one to armor for 1 hour. It takes 10 seconds to apply or one round.
Arrow heart shit.
Yeah.
Plus one to armor, 10 minutes to apply, lasts for an hour.
10 seconds.
10 seconds.
And it lasts for an hour. And if it was in combat, it would only be one round.
Interesting. Okay.
You do find a chunk of metal that was from one, probably some other prior cipher or something like that. It's junk now, as far as you can tell. There's a slim chance that maybe somebody like Magpie could find something worthwhile in it, but it looks pretty dead to you.
All right.
You could theoretically attach it to your quarterstaff.
Then yeah, that is what she's going to do. She's going to pull out some rope, tie it at the end, and then head back into the anvil room.
Okay.
Then with this makeshift hammer, she is going to swing it down on the anvil.
Okay, give me a 12 might roll.
Come on, Elson, be strong. That's 5.
You bring it down, and that same message appears as before that seems to be, like, questioning your strength.
Okay.
You can try again, but you will have to spend effort.
Right.
Stace, could you roll die for me and tell me what you get?
4.
Okay.
Were we here for when, like, the consequences of not strong enough happened? I don't remember if that was when Ezri, like, woke up back at the old enclave, or if we were all here for that.
Well, you guys saw the operating room. And it's the suggestion about it could improve the strength and the message about it.
Okay.
But as far as, like, the Geath consequences, only Ezri saw that. You only have what Ezri described seeing.
Gotcha. Okay. Then I think that's enough for her to be cautious. She's going to put on the bone dress for this next swing.
Okay, so now you have to tell me what it looks like.
Okay.
Are you going full Harrowhark? Are you doing something different?
Yeah, I think I am going full Harrow on this one. So just, like, kind of like a... I think she kind of styles the bones so that they, like, kind of spiral around her arms and down her chest and legs.
Mm.
And then a little bit upper neck. So that it's more like, is it splint mail armor? Where it's just, like, strips of metal, that kind of visual effect.
Okay, cool. I dig it.
So when she goes for this, and I'll still spend effort for this, but can she also use her, like, hover ability, but, like, with the swing kind of, like, hover down, if that makes sense? So she gets a little bit more oomph on that.
Yeah, I would give you an asset for that. You still have to spend effort since you're trying again.
Absolutely.
The one other thing I'll say as a detail that I'd like to add on to this is doesn't really have any mechanical effect, but you were sort of surprised to see that when the armor spreads over your hands, over the knuckles, it forms like molars.
Ooh. So I spent effort with the hover asset. That's now a 9?
That's 6.
6?
Mm-hmm.
19.
Nice. You hit the anvil. It chimes, and the wall essentially starts opening into a door, revealing the hallways beyond. What would you propose as a minor effect?
Now that Ilsen is, like, in quote-unquote, can I get an asset on the inevitable perception check to see when these creepy crawlies start running for me?
Yeah.
Excellent. Because I think she knows that something is coming. It's only a matter of time, so...
Yeah.
She's up against the clock. She takes the heavy mass off of the end of her quarterstaff, puts it where the door kind of slid into the wall or opened up just to, like, see if that will block it if it closes on her.
Try it.
Yeah, couldn't hurt. So, yeah, she puts that down and she starts going in. I remember this hallway branched, right? One went to the operating room. The other went to the other way.
The other one led to the room with the prisoner.
Okay. Where was the room that Ilsen had that, like, little... that, like, Simon says, memory thing.
Oh, I think it was on the left-hand path, I think.
Yeah, okay. It was the same path as the same direction that the prisoner was in, correct?
I'm pretty sure, yeah.
That's what she's going for. That's what
seems like the kind of gag I would do early in an exploration as opposed to later.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's where she's going to go and try to plunder that place.
Okay. So, as Ilsen walks through the door, the camera holds back in the anvil room, and as Ilsen is swallowed in darkness, we cut back to Ezri and Magpie.
Ooh.
You've just dropped off Neva. He is still unconscious. Mr. Tompkins has hopped up onto a surface and just seems to be kind of staring at him.
Well, everyone, this is Neva.
Okay. Who's Neva? What happened to him?
Well, first of all, Neva was in prison, and then second of all, Magpie kidnapped him and tied him up. Knocked him out. Yep. So, yeah, Neva is going to adventure with me for a while.
Rob looks and says, that's a weird way of phrasing that. What do you mean?
What do you mean? I mean, you know, be part of the crew.
Oh, okay. You were making it sound like he was something different than that.
Oh, no. No, when he wakes up, you'll see why.
Oh, okay. Wow, Magpie, you really did a number on him.
I mean, that's what happens when you can't shut your mouth.
Okay, I was just making a comment.
Not you.
Not you.
Neva.
No. Oh, okay.
Neva has a habit of talking about...
everything.
His past accomplishments and my current accomplishments, such as breaking him out of prison. Mm.
Then was it really a good idea to bring him here?
Probably not.
I'll murder him if I have to.
Whoa, wow, okay.
But I don't think I'm going to have to.
Zidon kind of chimes in like, I mean, we know that you've killed people before for us, but you're getting kind of casual with that, Ezri.
Well, I don't know if this will make you feel any better, but I don't think I'm going to have to murder Neva. I'm just telling you that if I brought a problem into the Enclave, I'll take care of the problem. Murder is still a last resort.
Okay.
Cool.
Yasmin wanders over and says, oh, he's young.
Why is Yasmin so thirsty? Are you?
Because she's young.
I don't think she has a lot of options.
She's a teenager.
Yeah. Fair.
Yeah, she doesn't have many options and she's a teenager.
Fair.
Because who else is there? Geeth?
Mm-hmm. I mean, what can that one arm do?
Too much. Too much right now.
I know. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Happens between you and that arm.
Geeth must have to be very careful.
Yeah. Geeth fists like a foot going into a waiter.
Oh my god.
And I thought I was going to bring the chaos today.
I broke Stace. It's so good.
No.
So good.
No, not Geeth. He's so young, full of light. So what have you guys been up to while I've been gone? Do you have any thoughts about what you want to do with your future?
Well, I was thinking about, this is Rob talking. I was thinking about trying to find something like, I don't know, like an apprenticeship with an apothecary or something like that. They don't have like strict guild things, so it might be easier for me to get in on something like that. I know Zidon was thinking about trying to get in with one of the merchant guilds.
Oh, really?
Yeah, not as a merchant myself, but like they also kind of oversee a lot of the tradesmen as well.
Oh, okay.
And Yasmin chimes in and says like, and I don't think a formal apprenticeship is the right path forward for me.
More of an informal.
I have other skills I want to learn.
Do you know who you want to apprentice with?
I have my ideas.
And Ezri stops herself from saying, not Ferdinand, to a teenager.
Yeah. As she says it, she's playing with that little bracelet she has.
Choose wisely, Yasmin. Please?
Oh, I will. I always think about what would Ezri do?
Oh.
Ezri would not apprentice with Ferdinand. That's for damn sure. That's a dangerous question, Yasmin, but I appreciate the faith. Yeah, so, I mean, those all sound like good ideas to me. I'm glad you guys can think about that stuff.
I mean, don't get me wrong. We're scared shitless about the idea of exposing ourselves after being in hiding for this long. I mean, I know all the heat has been mostly focused on you, and I guess maybe a little bit on Yasmin, even though they don't know her name or anything like that, but we're still nervous. I mean, you know, we're all escaped convicts, essentially.
I am working on getting some good papers for us.
Oh, wow.
Yes, good ones.
That'd be awesome.
We'll find out in several days.
Okay, that's cool.
I might have to get less good ones, because... And Ezri just gestures. She flexes, actually, for sure.
Right, yeah, because you're...
Judge.
Yeah. Sarkis chimes in and says, honestly, I'm thinking, like, if I can get some papers, you know, I might head out of Lathe, try to get to one of the more rural cities. Maybe head out to the central farming conglomerate. I mean, that's at least independent, unlike the surf houses.
That's true. I would miss you.
Well, I'm just thinking this city's not safe, and if we've got some money and the farther away I get, the less likely that somebody's going to recognize me, even with good papers. And Rob says, that's true. I thought about Lita, too, just because I like the idea of being by the ocean, but it's not easy to get there.
No, it's not. I think I'm going to buy some good armor, Daniel, and do what I can here.
Yeah, we figured you'd say something like that.
Well, as She doesn't need a nap.
Transition away.
So Magpie's the only one who needs a nap right now.
Yeah, she really needs it.
Ezri literally woke up, went to go get papers, and then came back.
Oh, then Ezri says, I'm going to go shopping, if anyone wants to come.
Jasmine says, I wouldn't mind going shopping.
Any requests?
I think we're good. Although, if you can get it, I mean, it's not easy to find down here. You could find somebody that's like selling firewood or something like that, just to keep the fires going. Given that we're not really sure if how permanent any of this is now, we're going to be like maybe splitting up. We don't want to look for necessarily like anything fancy to cook with, but we'll definitely need more firewood just to get through.
All right, yeah, I'll pick it up. And you know, I get wanting to leave Laith. It's terrible here, but for those of us who stay, you know, we can stay together. But it's up to you guys.
They all just sort of look uncomfortable.
I want you to stay, but I also want you to have the lives that you should have, so.
Yasmin says quietly, I'm not going anywhere.
I know. All right, well, that's enough of that, so.
Enough of these feelings.
See you guys in a bit with firewood.
Mm-hmm. So is Magpie taking a nap at this point?
Yes, 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 yes.
Okay.
She's going to sleep as long and as hard as she can.
Okay, so you're going to at least through your 10 hours, right?
Yes.
Yeah, it makes sense. You guys have been through a lot. You guys need to recover some points. Hopefully you make better recovery rolls than Samson did.
Do we get XP for all we've been through, or?
I just gave you XP. You guys have literally just done.
I feel like that was like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, because I don't think I did it at the time. I will give Stace an XP for grabbing Neva.
Oh, yay.
And Ilsen has truly been through the shit, and for being a good sport on it, I'm going to give Ilsen 2 XP.
You deserve it, really.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Watch me burn 3 XP while I run around the fucking enclave, the old enclave.
As you should.
Oh, what the hell. I'll give Magpie 1 XP too because of the fun plot twist I got to introduce.
Yay!
Singlet.
Oh, I was going to say, was it because I beat up the kitty wizard?
No.
That, I thought that was worth an XP, if you're asking for my opinion.
That was pretty good.
Does Magpie curb stomp and allies? Yeah.
Except we don't get XP for combat, remember?
Yeah. I mean, he's a level 2 NPC, so like the amount of damage you did to him, you rocked him pretty hard. There was one of the attacks you did where you rolled an 18. Mm. Had you rolled like a 19 or something and taken extra damage, you probably would have killed him.
Oops. That would have been funny, like sad, not funny, haha. Because then I would have had to explain, like to Magpie would have had to explain to Ezri that the nano she dreamed up was murdered.
Yes.
And for the listeners, in the follower rules, there is something in there. Like if a player loses a follower that they spent an advancement on, if they die, they can get a new follower without any other effort on their part. But they just, ooh, in world, they have to say they've been recruiting for 2 weeks. And then that other follower shows up.
Just plotting their replacement for 2 weeks. Just like, this one's gonna go at any time.
Yeah.
I mean, he is a bit of a liability. So, you know, maybe keep your eyes open.
2 weeks start now.
I'm just going to fix that real quick. Well,
it's 2 weeks after they die. You have to spend 2 weeks
okay.
after they
die. Oh, okay. That's a little bit less.
That's a little less morbid.
Yeah.
Stace is really settling into Ezri's murderer standpoint.
I feel like, yeah, Ezri is a little bit out of control.
It's fine. Don't worry about it.
She is. Like, at some point during this campaign, Ezri crossed a line somewhere that changed everything for her.
It was the cold, hard cash.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So Magpie's sleeping. Ezri, you and Yasmin go out shopping. Where are you going? You're shopping.
Oh, to the armor store where they sell the good armor.
Okay. I'm going to have to open up the equipment thing, aren't I?
Oh, I got you. Special medium is what I want. So either a metal weave vest for 40 shins or a synth breastplate for 50 shins. I'd rather have the breastplate.
So you already have armor. Tell me about your current armor.
It's just medium. I think it's the Brigandine.
To get something like that, you probably have to go up to the Surface City to get something like that. And it will be the price that's in the book, the 50 shins. Because that's too nice an item to just have in a shop down in the Warrens.
Dang. Well, that's what she wants, though, so we're going to the surface.
Okay. Are you wearing your mask?
Oh, yeah, for sure. She's also, like, hunching over and sucking it in.
Okay.
Hunched over and sucking it in? What the crap?
Yeah. Looking
like a... Trying to look small.
She's just trying to turn herself into a U, an upside-down U.
I was going to say, like, look like a walking seven or something.
That's fine.
Yeah.
As long as it's not a walking Ezri.
She looks like a U.S. senator. Just ancient and decrepit. So, yeah, you go up there. I think in that sort of same Main Street shop area where the cipher merchant that you guys robbed for almost everything good that he had.
Yep.
It's on that same street. That shop actually has a sign out there that says closed temporarily.
Oh, too easy. Ezri looks down at Yasmin. Can you do something about this?
What do you mean?
Can you make it temporarily open?
I mean, I can try. I mean, I can't, like, walk through walls like Magpie does, but...
All right, well, I can always try to pick the lock. Ezri will go around the back.
Okay, go around the back. You see that back door again with that lock on the back.
Okay. Do you want to try to pick it, or should I just break it?
I'll try it. She goes over... I'm going to say... I'm trying to think at what level she does this. I think... Well, actually, no. She's been getting some... tutelage.
No!
So I think, she does manage to pick it and unlock it.
Great work.
Thanks. I've been spending a lot of time working on this.
Good.
Well, I have a good teacher.
Ooh.
That's going to be professional for me to share.
We're going to talk more about this later. But for right now, let's get inside.
All right. She slips in utterly silent.
Ezri slips in less silently and closes the door and relocks it. All right, synthweave breastplate. Well, first, let's make sure no one's here.
In the cipher shop?
I thought you said... Oh, this is the same shop.
It's the same shop you guys knocked off
before. I thought
before.
You said this was the shop that had the breastplate and that it was temporarily closed. So I was like, I'm going to break in and steal the breastplate.
The cipher shop is temporarily closed.
Is the coffee pot still here? The coffee thing?
You would have to go to the front and check.
All right. Ezri goes to the front to check for the coffee maker, and she's going to pretend like that's what she was doing the entire time.
Okay. So you go to the front. The coffee maker is there on a shelf.
Ezri puts it in her backpack.
Okay. I would like to offer you an XP.
Okay.
Will you give the other one to?
I'm very invested in Ilsen leveling up sometime. Yeah. So, Samson.
Thank you.
Okay. As you're putting it into your backpack or whatever you've got for carrying things, the door to the initial oddity room opens up and out comes the shopkeeper. What are you doing in here? Who are you?
Does she have...
Are you stealing my coffee maker?
Ezri pulls out, I don't know. How much could a coffee maker possibly be, Michael? 50 shins.
Pauses for a second. He's like, oh, that's a lot, but what are you doing in here? We're closed.
I honestly was going to take the coffee maker and leave the cash because you've been closed forever.
I mean, it's only been a few days.
A few days without coffee.
I don't even... when would you have seen this? I haven't even seen you in here.
I saw it through the window. I've been saving up my shins. I thought it must be a 50-shin coffee... And Ezri is trying to fucking lie her ass off, so...
You clearly broke in.
She's not denying that.
No, well, hold on. I'm talking about the social context of what's happening. You clearly broke in. You were clearly taking the coffee maker... So I think to convince him on this, it's probably a 15 to start, but you have natural charisma, so that makes it a 12.
Yep. And I'll split a level of intellect effort.
Yasmin, by the way, is just frozen in place. She doesn't know what to do.
That's fine. Just watch and learn. 8. Watch and learn.
It's like, I need you to put that back on the shelf right now.
Wait, that's a success.
How?
Wait.
Your natural charisma, which brought it down to a 12.
Oh, because I'm bad at math, Daniel. Can I retry, please?
Yes, you can retry.
Okay. So I guess spend another level of effort.
Well, he's going to have his initial reaction. Okay. Hold on. Because we're not re-rolling. If we were re-rolling, it would be different.
I would like to re-roll.
Could you spend an XP to re-roll? Okay. Then you can do it. But you need to explain to me what you're doing to have this reroll. Like, what does Ezri do in this moment of like, oh, fuck, I really biffed that?
She's going to say, hey, listen, fine. Well, it was an impulse to come in here and get this. I didn't think anyone was going to be here. I'll give you the 50 shins. I'll make it worth your while. And we all forget this ever happened. Nothing else has to happen.
Okay.
Do I have to spend another level of effort for that, or is it just it's pure reroll, right?
No, a reroll is a reroll. Yeah.
I know how the rules work. 17.
Okay. He pauses for a second. He's like, well, you shouldn't go breaking into places. You know, who knows? I might have done something.
Ezri, like, beefs up a little at that.
He's like, listen, I'm small. I get it. But I am a cipher shop. I have shit I can use.
That's fair. I'm sorry.
Yeah. So anyway, yeah, 50 shins is fine, but don't break into places.
I'm not.
We're closed for a reason. I just had a bunch of shit stolen from me the other day, so I'm a little on edge.
I understand.
I've got the city guards looking into it, but it's taking time.
I wish them and you the best of luck, and hopefully this helps you recover a little bit. Also, thank you for the coffee maker. Let me get out of your hair. Good day, sir.
Okay. So he takes the 50 shins and you guys leave. He walks over to the front door, unlocks it, and opens it and waits for you guys to walk out.
They do. Or at least Ezri does. Assume Yasmin has regained motor function.
Yeah. Oh, Yasmin's out the door as soon as he unlocks it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they get around the corner and Ezri slaps Yasmin on the back. See? See how quickly things can go wrong?
Yeah, I can see that. So, okay, so we've got a coffee maker. I think the armory shop is up here somewhere.
I like to think that Ezri had like deja vu when she entered into the shop. Just like,
what the fuck?
Okay, so you get to the armory shop. Yeah, you can get a synth breastplate here for 50 shins.
Dope.
Do you have 50 shins on you?
Can we say that I grabbed money on my way out before shopping?
Sure.
Okay.
Sure.
Then yes.
I do love the idea of, like, making you be like, oh, shit, I need to go back, and I left my wallet back.
Pat in her pockets. Anything else? They have anything cool? I don't know what else I want.
Well, so they sell armor. They also sell weaponry. They don't have anything that's like a cipher or anything like that. But on the surface city of Lathe, almost any other kind of weaponry can be found.
Can I? What about the other equipment list? Do we want to go through that, or should I just make a small list of what I want to buy?
What do you have in mind?
Just a couple of first aid kits, probably a couple of disguise kits.
Disguise kits would not be here.
Oh, they'd be down below. Get that
from somewhere else. Yeah, yeah, you would have to go somewhere that's like either a theater district or buying it from a not so reputable source.
Light tools for Yasmin.
Mm-hmm.
Some wine for Tibu.
Mm.
Yeah. Nothing on the special list. She doesn't, she's not gonna.
Yeah. Actually, they have one other thing on the special list is that behind on the shelf, they have binoculars.
Yes, those.
Okay, so that's 50 shins.
Dang. All right. I will just put in how many of the other things.
Mm-hmm. Okay. As you guys leave, walking down the way, Yasmin says, I like this kind of shopping.
The kind where you go to expensive shops and spend money, or the kind where you break into expensive shops and take what you want?
Oh, I mean the one where you go into expensive shops and you make use of a 5-finger discount. And she opens her pouch to show you that she stole a buzzer and some of the bladed discs.
Well done.
Thanks.
A bladed disc, you said?
Yeah, so a buzzer is a handheld weapon that fires thumbnail-sized bladed discs up to a short range. It's 5 discs to a magazine.
Okay. Wow.
And it can be a rapid fire weapon.
Nice. Just make sure you get some practice with that.
Yeah, I figure. I mean, I don't know if I would use it personally or if I'll just sell it to somebody who give me more money for something else. I'm finding that the more I learn, the more I find I like simple blades.
So thirsty. So it is, Ferdinand. Listen, Yasmin, I just want to make sure you're safe. Safe-ish. As safe as you can be engaging in crime. And so...
Ferdinand's great. He has so much he can teach me. He's so talented.
So he is teaching you?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Yeah, he saw that I have an interest and he wants to make sure that I can do it safely.
He does anything inappropriate, I will murder him. Otherwise, don't tell him I said this. Ferdinand's very good at what he does.
Exactly, exactly. And he's been nothing but a gentleman, very charming, very helpful.
Okay.
She fiddles with the bracelet again.
All right. Well, do you want to wait in the roof of this shop until dark and take this egg back to the Enclave?
Sure.
Ezri waits for the right moment, activates her stars. Got an 11. And when the moment is right, we'll fly them up to the roof.
Okay. Yeah, you guys get up to the roof. I'm just fine as you're waiting for darkness. Ilson.
Hello.
We're walking down the dark hallway. You pass the door on your right that you know leads to that water-filled room. Mm-hmm. And as you're wandering down, you reach that door on your left that had the bobbit twisted.
Yeah, she's going to quietly open the door and peek in.
Mm-hmm. It looks basically the same as when you left it.
Excellent.
There's sort of the desk structure that has the like little weird bobbit thing on it.
Yeah, if it is empty, if the room is empty, she's going to slip in and then try to find a chair or some object to prop the door close. If it's like that. Is this a slidey door, swingy door? What's up with this door?
This is like a standard door, so it's not a slidey door. It's like you open it and you go in.
Okay.
So yeah, you could try to brace something. I can't remember if I described one before, but I would say, yeah, it's likely that there's a chair in here.
All right, yeah. She's going to grab a chair-shaped object, shove it under the doorknob-shaped object on the door.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I would like to offer you an XP.
Oh, yeah, I'll take it. I'll take it.
Who do you give the other one to?
Where are you guys at?
I'm at tier 2, 4 XP.
2, I don't think I have any advancements, and 4 XP.
All right, I'll give it to Magpie.
Woo.
Okay. Magpie has a warm little happy dream.
Yay.
Where she's taking her nap.
I was going to say, did I pee myself?
Maybe you're sleeping and Mr. Tompkins is sniffing your eyebrows as you sleep.
Nice.
So, Ilson, as you move the chair into place, like as you try to jam it, there's something about the way it jams up against the door and the floor. It makes just this really loud, like squeaking sound as you move into position. That wooden creak against floor.
Oh, shit. All right. Well, I think she's going to use her hover ability to kind of lessen the weight of the chair, get it off the ground a little bit, and still try to get it under the door.
Oh, you definitely get it under the door. Right. It just makes this very loud sound while you do that.
Oh, great. Then in that case, she's going to start plundering the place, start looking around for any ciphers, any shiny objects, anything that looks like it would be worth a lot of money.
Give me a perception roll of 9.
Perception roll 9.
You have a flex skill, so it's a 6.
Do. That's 3.
You could try again if you want to spend effort, or you could re-roll, but I would prefer you use your XP to level up at some
point. I know. Yeah, all right. I'll spend effort. Is it still a 3? Or still 6?
With your effort, it will be a 3 now.
Okay. 17.
Okay. You find 2 ciphers. So one of them is a small device that looks like it's got a nasty pokey bit on the end. It's actually like 2 units attached to each other. And each one of them has these sharp bits. As you study them for a while, you realize that what these are telepathy implants. What you gather is that 2 people can take one of these devices, shove it into their head at their temple, and then for 1 hour, it enables long-range mental communication with the person with the matching implant.
Excellent.
Evens or odds?
Evens.
Alex, roll a die for me. Tell me if you get even or odd.
4.
Okay. You find a device that is roughly the size of Ezri's hand. So it's bigger than your hand for sure. It's like larger. Look at it for a minute, and then you're shocked at what you realize what it is. This is a singularity detonation. It is a level 10 cipher. It explodes and creates a momentary singularity that tears at the fabric of the universe. It inflicts 20 points of damage to all within short range, drawing them or the remains together to immediate range. Player users in the radius move 1 step down the damage track if they fail a might defense roll.
Holy shit.
And that might defense roll is a level 10, so it's like a 30 that they have to beat.
Jesus!
Oh, man.
Oh, listeners, if you could see the big grin on Samson's face right now, I wish you could.
I don't know when I'm going to use it, but it's going to be fucking great.
This is like the nuke all over again.
It really is.
It's not the nuke. It's the same level, but it does far less like damage to the universe. Because the nuke literally wiped out cities.
Yeah, but this one literally damages the universe.
This is just going to be very inconvenient to some people.
It literally damages the universe, but it's still contained in how much area it affects. Mm-hmm.
Unless we go to another dog show.
So you could use it for something cool, or it's probably worth a shitload of money to people that are into arms trading.
Yeah, she's going to have to find some people.
Cypher flipping 2.0.
Give me a perception roll of 15, but I'm going to give you an asset. I guess you had a minor effect.
Thank you. Flex skill, so it's a 9 right now.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like my odds, so I'm going to put a level of effort onto that. Bring it down to a 6. 12.
You hear heavy steps with a, in addition to when they come down, a clacking sound like claws on the ground, starting to slowly walk their way down the hallway, getting closer and closer to the room that you are in. And that's where we'll end this episode.
Hee hee.
Samson, something about this episode.
I accumulated XP instead of losing it.
Yes, you did.
Yeah.
Are you going to do anything with it, or are you just going to spend it all on rerolls now?
If I can get one more XP, I'm going to level up.
Just do it.
But yeah, other than that, I really like that Esri just went into the cipher shop that we knocked over. That was really funny.
Yeah, just like
return to the scene of the crime, classic.
And so confidently, too. She saw it. She's like, oh, I know what to do here.
Get that coffee maker.
Almost like I robbed it before.
A lot of experience.
Apologies to Alex. Since Magpie was taking a nap, she didn't get to do much. But so we have a segment that we do each week called Player Intrusions. That's where we offer you, the listener, an XP to check out something that we think you'd really dig. This week, it is Alex's turn. Alex, what would you offer our listeners an XP to check out?
Okay. So if anyone's ever watched my Twitch stream, you know I love doing these like rabid retellings of horribly, just like I do for the recaps of story plots. Well, it happened, listeners. They made one of those just crazy ass fucking stories into a K-drama. So now we all have to go to Amazon and watch Marry My Husband, because it is unhinged in the best way. And I'm just so excited seeing the behind the scenes ones, especially when they throw panties at this guy. He's like, these are my panties. Look it up. It's going to be amazing. It's amazing. I don't know. Should I summarize like the plot hook of the idea?
Yeah.
Probably summarize the plot hook, because right now I have no idea except that panties get thrown.
Yeah.
Which I haven't seen since college.
So this is the main character. She has cancer and she's leaving the hospital to go see her husband. And she's like super disappointed because it's like late stage. And when she gets to her home that she shares with her husband, she finds him cheating with her best friend. And when they get into an argument, he pushes her, she hits her head, and she dies. So this is one of those regression stories. So she goes back before all of this, before she marries her husband, before she has cancer. And it's her evil plot to get the two cheaters together so nobody has to deal with it. And that's why it's called Marry My Husband. It's all about her evil plot to get her asshole best friend to marry her husband.
Hmm. That's definitely wild and toxic.
Yeah. The manhwa, it's a Korean comic, only has, I think, about 80 chapters.
Mm-hmm.
So you could read the actual story over like a weekend.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they've only done season one on Amazon right now, and they may have extended it, and they've got some really good actors to do this, and it's amazing.
Hmm. Okay. Well, if people wanted to tell us what they think of Marry My Husband or the podcast, how would they do that, Samson?
Well, we have a website, explorerswanted.fm. On there, you'll find all our various social medias. Currently, we are on Mastodon at explorerswanted at dice.camp. We are on Blue Sky at explorerswanted.fm. And Instagram and Facebook, you can find us at Explorers Wanted Podcast. But the best place to hang out with us and talk about Marry My Husband is patreon.com/explorerswant. Come hang out with us. No, wait, Discord. But also come to our Patreon, patreon.com/explorerswant if it is within your means. But hanging out with us, it's our Discord, explorerswanted.fm/Discord. But also Patreon, do that too. And also Die Hard Dice. Use our code explorerswanted, get 10% off your order when you buy stuff from Die Hard Dice. Hopefully that wasn't confusing. Goodbye.
I'm not confused.
And if you can't financially support us, you totally understand. The best thing that you could do for us is to tell your friends, tell them about the show and why you like it, why they should listen to it. Second best thing is to leave us a 5-star written review on a podcast directory like Apple Podcasts or Podchaser. It makes such a big difference for people finding the show. And if you didn't like the podcast, or if you just thought it was meh, well, it's only because your heart is in the wrong place. It's in a jar, buried at the roots of a weeping cherry tree. your blood running through its petals and striations of crimson. When the wind blows, people can hear creaking echoes of your moans in the branches. It's unseemly, but necessary. And honestly, I thought you would have shut the fuck up by now. If you want to reach out to us individually on social media, you can. You can find me on Mastodon as Daniel at Anderlik, ANDRLIK.org.
You find me on our Discord. I'm Stace Windu.
I love the idea of still being obnoxious, even in death. I'm at Slime Potato at Dice Talk Camp on Mastodon and at Slime Potato on Twitter and Blue Sky.
Listen, my heart is in a canopic jar because I'm trying to summon Imhotep from everyone's gay awakening, the 1999 movie, The Mummy. I'm Tea with the Unicorn on Instagram Threads, and I swear to God, I fixed my internet issue, so I'll be back on Twitch to do just my unhinged rants.
All right, that's it for us. Hope you enjoyed the show. We'll be back next week, as we will for every week in the foreseeable future. Have a good night, day, weekend, or whenever you're listening to this. And bye!